Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, there's lots of complexity in you know, estate planning, what we call our legacy bucket, and family planning and making sure everybody's taken care of. And, you know, the question is, does the complexity increase under a common law relationship versus a regular relationship? Are there any differences? If you're in a common law, is there something else you need to be doing? These are questions that we get asked a lot. And, you know, we thought we should bring on an expert to try to help understand what that means, common law, what the differences are and the similarities are and how to do it.
Yeah, the trend has changed. Before we bring our guest on to talk about the differences and so forth from a legal perspective, since 1981, common law relationships in Canada have gone up by 500%. Nearly a quarter of Canadian couples are common law, which is probably the highest share in any G7 country today. And so when we get this type of information, and even within our own practice, how many of our clients that are in their second, third relationships are in common law relationships versus marriages? And let me throw a little bit of kicker in there. Some of them even have blended families. And so when it comes to estate planning, the complexity goes up.
Sure does.
And so what we have to be aware of, what's the laws, what does the law protect you, and what do you need to do to protect yourself above and beyond what the law does? And so let's bring our guest on board and our expert, Marcus Sixta, founder and family law lawyer at Crossroads Law. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Let's just jump right into this. Let's start off for defining for our audience the difference between being married and common law.
Well, there is a big difference between being married and common law. If you're married, you typically know you're married. You've had a wedding, you've signed the papers, you're married. Now, it's a lot different with common law relationships. And quite often people are in common law relationships and they don't even know they're in a common law relationship. So a quote unquote common law relationship is actually, under the legislation in Alberta, an adult interdependent relationship. And so what is that? What is an adult interdependent relationship? That is a relationship of 3 years where people are living together, and they're living together in a relationship of interdependence. And what interdependence means is that they share in each other's lives, they function as an economic and domestic unit, and they're emotionally committed to one another, okay? Now, that three-year period can be shortened if you have children. And if you have children, it could be 6 months, it could be a year. But, you know, if a judge was looking at this, they'd have to look at all those factors to determine if you're actually in that adult interdependent relationship. And if you are in an adult interdependent relationship, then functionally, your rights are pretty much the same in Alberta now as if you were married.
Is that different, Marcus, between provinces?
The amount of time you need to live with somebody to be considered quote-unquote common law changes depending on what province you're in. For example, I also practice in BC, and in BC it's a two-year period. So in Alberta it's 3 years, in BC it's 2 years. Another thing that mixes people up is that you don't necessarily even have to be living together for the full period of time. In fact, there's cases out there where people have only lived together for a couple months, but they've been in this marriage-like or they've been in this relationship of interdependence for some time without living together because they're sharing finances. Maybe they share pets. Maybe they've done some estate planning together, and the court decides, well, you haven't been cohabitating, but we're still going to find that you're in this adult interdependent relationship.
Now, one thing, Marcus, that you and I've talked about on this show and on off air as well is how people protect themselves going into a relationship like this, or when they realize that, oh, wow, we're common law in relationship, maybe we should start protecting. One thing that's been brought up, people use the terminology prenups or cohabitation agreements. Give us a bit of an overview of, as people enter these relationships, what the difference between a prenup and a cohabitation agreement is, and why do you think it's still important that people get those?
Well, So I'll start with where the state of the law is now in Alberta. As I said, common law relationships and marriages are pretty much functionally the same when it comes to your property rights. And that started in January 2020. There was new legislation that was introduced called the Family Property Act. And that legislation says that if you are in this adult interdependent relationship, what everybody calls a common law relationship, essentially your rights to property are exactly the same as somebody who's in a marriage. And what that means is that any assets that you've accumulated during your adult interdependent relationship, they are divided equally in the event of a separation. Now, there are some exceptions to that. If you have an inheritance, that can be an exception. If you have a gift from a third party, that can be an exception. If you have assets that you had before your adult interdependent relationship, that's also an exception. But generally, all the property that's accumulated during that relationship would be divided 50-50. And the only way to protect yourself from that type of division is through what's called a cohabitation agreement or a prenuptial agreement. Now, a cohabitation agreement is essentially, I mean, I think everybody knows what a prenup is. You know, it's Kanye West has rapped about prenups. We all know what a prenup is. But a cohabitation agreement, that is essentially the same thing. That's the same thing, but it's for people in a common law relationship or an adult interdependent relationship in Alberta.
Let's jump now to the other side of this where it comes into in the event of death. When it comes to the estate planning side or the Wills and Estates Act, let's go with Alberta first. Does it differentiate in regards to if you're married or common law? And then second part to that, what are some of the tips you would give to individuals to make sure that their estate plan's in order so that their wishes are really what they want in a common law relationship?
Right. And so now in Alberta and also in BC, if somebody who's in a common law relationship dies and they don't have a will, their rights are essentially the same as somebody who's married. So that means that essentially everything would flow to their spouse, all right, or most of their assets will flow to their spouse, okay? If you're in a situation where you don't want that to happen, some people have tried entering into wills to change that arrangement, but that's not going to be enough because the other party, your spouse, your surviving spouse, may say, look, I didn't agree to this will, and I still have a claim to 50%. If that happens, then they're going to go after your estate and claim their 50% of your assets. Really, what you would need in that case is a cohabitation agreement or a prenuptial agreement that outlines exactly what the parties have agreed to. And in there, it will talk about what happens upon death and the division of assets if there's a death. And quite often, it's treated the same as if there was a separation.
It's interesting, you know, and there's all kinds of complexities here, as we talked about, Faisal, but Marcus using the word could a lot, could be, when, referring to common law relationships where there is more certainty when you're in a traditional married relationship. And I think that argues for those people that are in common law relationships to clearly understand what they're in, what they're committed to, and what they're not committed to, right? To make that happen.
I have never really pounded the table on the topic like getting the legal advice on most topics like I do on this topic.
Yeah,
like, although
absolutely.
When I say get legal advice, I'm pounding the table on this one.
Yeah.
That if you're in a common law relationship, if you're with blended families, you need to get the legal advice. Do not assume things will sort themselves out. Because it's not whatever your wishes are. If they're in writing, then you don't forget it in the future.
Yeah.
Things don't get muddy in the future. It's already been done. There's a lot of process and work with that. Marcus, how difficult is it to start that process if people are in a relationship now, going, oh, we should better get a contract put together, an agreement put together, and then if they're doing their estate planning, how difficult is it, like? There's always a reason why individuals don't want to get the legal advice up front. So I want you to give them some reassurance on how really easy it is to sit down with legal counsel like yourself to get out there and actually get this process started.
Well, I think that the having a meeting with somebody like myself and talking about this is the easy part. Talking to your spouse about it or your partner about it, that's the difficult part. And what I would suggest to anybody who's contemplating this is start that process early as possible. When you start dating somebody, talk to them about what your desires are in terms of the division of your assets so that they get a sense of what they're getting into right at the outset, because that conversation becomes more and more difficult the longer the relationship progresses. And it certainly becomes a heck of a lot more difficult if you're already in an adult interdependent relationship or if you're already married. I mean, at that point, if your partner decides, no, I don't really want to enter into any type of agreement like that, then what are you going to do, right? It really, your choice is to separate. And that's really no choice at all.
Marcus, I have to agree with you, and I have to leave one note. We do have to go for the end of the show. Marcus's point about speaking to your significant other is very important. I've worked with Marcus on other cases, and that's one piece of advice he always gives is, this is how you can speak to your significant other. These are the topics you need to discuss and come to some sort of conclusion so you're both on it in an amicable way versus being it in a not so amicable way.
Correct.
Marcus, I want to thank you for joining us. If any of the of you listeners and viewers want to know how to get in touch with Marcus, he has a practice in British Columbia and in Alberta, definitely reach out to us at morethanmoneyradio.com. We'll be more than happy to introduce you to Marcus. Marcus, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me on, guys.
Listen, we've got an upcoming seminar where we have to talk about all the complexities of retirement, and that includes also family and so on, legacy planning and all those things.
Yeah, retirement's not an easy topic. You know, like it causes a lot of vulnerability, and so all these different issues pop up, especially how do you secure your income through every economic cycle, kind of like the one that we're going through right now.
Right on.
Our first live presentation of 2022 is going to happen on Tuesday, September 20th, 7 p.m. in person at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in the west side of Calgary. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
On behalf of Faisal, myself, Dave, want to thank you for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We look forward to chatting with you next week. Stay tuned for some football.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmally are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmally do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.